for the day and the joy to be found in the changes of the season. Bless this time together and the work of your church, here and everywhere your people call upon you. Amen.
I'm going to offer a brief word of introduction before we hear the scripture readings for today. So if you haven't been here this summer, we're doing a series, a study series on the book of Psalms, the part of the Bible that contains 150 different psalms or prayers. It's been a good occasion for me, who have spent my whole life learning and praying these psalms, to dig a little deeper into them. And one of my realizations this time around is that there is more structure to this book than I realized. There are, for example, five different sections to the psalms, five divisions. You have Psalms 1 through 41 is division 1, division 2, 42 to 72, and so on. Now, there are also five books of Moses called the Pentateuch. So in Greek, penta means five. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So in early temple worship, different sections or the different divisions of the Psalms would line up with these five books of Moses. Well, more than that, each section or each of these five divisions has their own rhythm to them. And each section takes us through what Walter Brueggemann calls the three seasons of faith: orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. It's actually what the image at the front of the bulletin today tries to depict. I'll let you decide which is which, because I'm not sure which one is orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. One other thing to point out, that the last psalm in each of the five sections ends with praise. Arms, hands lifted high. Psalm 150, the last psalm, ends in complete praise, complete doxology. So you begin with Psalm 1, which is a prayer for orientation, a prayer yearning for obedience to follow God's law. So you have this beautiful ride between Psalm 1 and Psalm 150, a prayer for orientation ending with complete and full reorientation before God. And one writer I studied this week, Denise Hopkins, points out that most of us live our lives between Psalm 1 and Psalm 150. And most of us live in that wild ride that takes us through orientation, disorientation, and hopefully reorientation. So Dan will now read Psalm 1 and Psalm 150, not 1 through 150.
Using the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible today. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path which sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all which they do, they prosper. Wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And then the last psalm, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything which breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. A beautiful line from the Psalms. the vortex of the online comment section, something I wouldn't recommend. It sounded a lot like clashing and clanging cymbals already. All of these reports coming out of our denominational gathering, which happens every 2 years, has caused me to feel a little disoriented this morning. So please bear with me. Jesus' teachings might be our orientation, but organized religion and church policy has a way of making us feel rather disoriented. There was one comment that really struck me, that has stuck with me, an online comment, as I was reading through trying to make sense of what was happening in Orlando. This person wrote this comment. I won't give her name. I actually don't know this person. This person wrote this after the first session where the delegates in Orlando, so representatives from local Mennonite churches, they were sitting around tables, they were all asked to review Mennonite history to try to create a timeline. And apparently this included highlighting the stuff many of us would rather leave out in telling our history. The not-so-great highlight reel, the stories of discrimination, racism, sexism, abuse, marginalization, and colonization. This is what this one delegate wrote after that session. Dear Mennonite Convention fellow delegates, I'm wishing for a do-over on the history session. Reading that summary of our history was like talking to a depressed person with selective memory. Where was the recognition of all that makes us grateful that we are part of this very special group of brothers and sisters? Where was the testimony of God's faithfulness to us throughout our history? Where was the honor for the prior generations who have shared their faithful witness and brought us the words of life? Please, Mennonites, take time to remember and perhaps reread the many biblical retellings of Israel's history. They start with, God did this wonderful thing. Then they continue with, and then God did this, and then this, and now God is doing this, and in the future God will do this. The history of the church is a story of God's action and God's faithfulness. If the history of Israel were told from the perspective of what Israel had done, can you imagine how depressing that would be? Think back to how our history read this evening. We fail here, and then we fail here, and we need to do better here, and we can learn from our mistakes here. So much guilt and so little joy in our good God who works through us in spite of our failures. If it were all about us, this church has no joy, no life, and no future. But it's not about us. Let's talk about God's faithfulness. Well, what I heard partially in this comment is, can't we just be a Psalm 150 denomination? They do without the dancing. More doxology, more praise, and less hand-wringing about what is so wrong with our world today, with our churches today. Had I added my voice to the clanging and clashing of cymbals online, which I didn't, I refrained, I might have wanted to ask her more about her background. Because at face value, when I read a comment like this, it can sound like a person who is basking in their own well-offness, perhaps out of touch with the real-life pain and anguish and suffering that people, yes, people in the Mennonite church experience as a result of unchecked or unexamined power and privilege. I might have quoted something I read about the Psalms this week that goes like this. Praise without confession leads to triumphalism. Also, Confession without praise so often leads to despair. Praise without confession leads to triumphalism. Confession without praise leads to despair. In other words, praise and confession. Do we need to pit these two actions against each other? Can we believe in a God big enough to welcome our praises and our confessions and our hand-wringing? Can we simultaneously lift up God's goodness and faithfulness, even when we don't always deserve it? A love that goes far beyond what we are capable of producing on our own, while also acknowledging ourselves as partners with God, and therefore in constant need of this self-examination and self-critique and renewal that is born out of true, authentic confession. In other words, I believe faith is in fact about us and our faithfulness, our willingness to be self-aware and self-critical, and it is about God and God's ability to transform our imperfections and our faithlessness. It's both. The other thing I have to say about a comment like this that I read earlier is if and when praise of God, doxology, means ignoring the suffering or the harsh realities of the world and the ways we sometimes perpetuate that suffering, that doesn't feel like complete praise to me, but rather distorted or incomplete praise. You know, 2 weeks ago I talked about our various images or metaphors for God. And this week I read someone's description or experience of God as this, as compassion meeting and resisting tragic suffering. To me, that's a beautiful concept of God, worthy of complete and utter praise. God as compassion meeting and resisting tragic suffering. So whatever season of life you are in today, whether that be a season of orientation, of well-offness, perhaps you are in a season of disorientation. And maybe some of us are trying to rebuild faith toward reorientation. Maybe you're experiencing all three of these seasons at once. Whatever season you find yourself in, may we consider, may we at least yearn for a God who meets us in the world's pain and anguish, always, I believe, whispering hope, helping us to be more full of compassion so that we too might join in this holy work of resisting tragic suffering here. Well, as a pastor, I get to hear people reflect over and over about how they are witnessing this God of compassion at work in the world and their lives, how they're experiencing orientation and disorientation. And today we're going to hear from two of these people, Dustin and Robert, who will be baptized in a moment. Now, Dustin, I'm going to put you on the spot because always evolves. So, Robert, you share first, and then Dustin.
Good morning, everyone. When Ruth asked me to, you know, provide my testimony, I went back in time, and I thought of me as a 10-year-old. So this is the voice of a 10-year-old kid who was brought up in a Christian church, but had many challenges as he was discovering himself and the fact that, you know, he's gay. So it starts going to church on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sunday schools was fundamental in my upbringing. Often, as a child, I was asked, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked for forgiveness for all sins? And of course, have you been baptized? These were typical questions I would often get from members of the church my mother used to take me. And as a child, I had no idea what that really meant, or what they were really asking. And often, to silence them, I would give them a strong, yes, of course, I have. Often, I found myself asking, why can we forgive people who are homosexuals and welcome them into church? I'm a child. I'm different. I know it. And it makes me feel like I'm a horrible person for what they say. I often try to find refuge in a story found in the Bible. When Jesus was surrounded by children, and his disciples tried to stop the children, Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as this. This is found in the book of Matthew 19:14. I never forget this story, because I would often cry thinking, I'm a gay child who has come to seek the love of God, but everyone keeps saying that God does not welcome homosexuals into his kingdom. This pushed me away from my desire to have a relationship with God and to relate to my faith. But thanks to Reverend Mennonite Church, I can now stand firmly here and say that I want to have everyone witness my commitment that I have made to start having a relationship with God, and to also acknowledge the beautiful community that Rainbow Mennonite Church has given me through this few months. Thank you.
Mine's a little longer, so. I believe I am called to live in communion with God and others. Failure to do this is self-centeredness. I was raised in a fundamental, non-denominational church where I learned a limited and exclusive view of the Christian faith. It was a primarily individualistic faith, which focused on how I could avoid sin and escape eternal punishment in hell. Salvation was a simple statement about being born a sinner, but God loved me so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross, shedding his blood to cleanse me of my sins, that I could one day go to heaven. I prayed a prayer that went, God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask that you come into my heart to save me from my sins. I was all of a sudden saved. I was first baptized soon after at the age of 8. I went on to live my life for myself, not thinking of the bigger picture. I thought that as long as I am saved, I will go to heaven. This thinking started to change as my identity continued to develop. It clashed with what I was taught about homosexuality in the Bible. I remember asking, if gay people can go to heaven, and I was told no, they must repent of their sin and change who they are, or maybe they weren't saved to begin with. I struggled with this for a long time, and I thought maybe the first time I got saved didn't work. So I would pray over and over and over again, thinking that something magical would happen and I would get saved. I now believe homosexuality is not a sin. However, I do believe that self-deception is a sin that alienates me from my true self. For so long I was denying my true self, living a double life, one as a straight, religious, godly, Christian young man, and the other being promiscuous and not caring about God or my faith. Both of these were not who I truly am, and my life was miserable. This disrupted my essential unity with God, other people, and myself. I overcame this only through a personal encounter with God, with Jesus Christ. I believe faith is a personal commitment in my life. When I finally embraced my identity, I took a leap of faith into a dark and unknown time in my life, hoping that God would be there to guide me through. I encountered God in a very real way when I revealed my true identity to my family and my friends. I was struck down in despair when they did not understand or accept me for who I am. God's love and grace was revealed to me in ways I had never felt before. I will continue to apply the teachings of Jesus and strive to be his disciple. I am excited to rededicate my faith by being rebaptized and join this church. Rainbow Mennonite Church to me exemplifies what it means to be a church, existing for others, sharing in the problems of ordinary life, engaging the culture, and serving the community. We would also, Robert and I, would also like to become members of this church to support it, grow together in our marriage, and raise a family here. You are all dear to our hearts, and although we will be living in St. Louis, we feel that our roots are planted here.
Thank you. Feel like we're on sacred ground when we hear people share from their life. Let's stand now as you're able and sing a hymn that Dustin suggested you sing for today as you prepare for your bed. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. baptized and to join in full covenant relationship with those who worship and serve God in this place. I now ask you to respond to these questions. You now affirm your faith in and loyalty to the gospel of Jesus Christ as you understand it, trusting in the forgiveness and renewing power of God's love demonstrated through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. In response to that love, do you commit yourself to Christ and to his service through the church? Will you seek by the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead a Christian life as far as you know how? And as you willingly unite with this church, will you worship, serve, and share in this program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, attendance when you return from St. Louis, loyal service, and faithful stewardship as God gives you strength? And finally, do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joys and pain? Now I call to you. Robert, upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you with water. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, may God baptize you with the Spirit from above. All-loving God, grant Robert the fullness of your Spirit. May he experience joy and salvation. May he be kept sound and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make him one in whom Christ is seen alive again. Release the gifts he was given at creation and that were redeemed in Christ. The one who calls us is faithful and will be with us until the very end. Now, if you rise, I welcome you into full communion. Upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you with water in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. May God baptize you in spirit from above. A loving God, grant Dustin the fullness of your Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, the renewing power of love. Make him one in whom Christ is seen alive again. Release the gifts given to him at creation and that were redeemed in Christ. Give him true joy, true lasting joy of salvation. The one who calls us is faithful and promises us to be with us until the end of the age. I bid you rise, and I welcome you. Now I bid the congregation to rise, and we will join in praying a prayer found in Luke 777. So please turn to that. Praying together. As we now receive you into the fellowship of the church, how they have had full confidence in your faithfulness, and how we all doubt and despair at times. We trust, O God, that you welcome our praying, even when we have only sighs, even when we have only tears. For each person here today who carries burdens that are too difficult to carry alone, I pray that the gifts of goodness and mercy and compassion would be sent to them, and that we would all be on the lookout for how goodness continues and hope continues to be whispered. We pray for Mennonite Church USA and the different church communities that have been part of our life story. Again, we carry experiences of wonderful joy and deep anguish. So gather us in, O God, all of who we are. Help us to trust that you do not ask us to be nice before you, that we can be all of who we are. We pray that you and your good hope would be ever present to us as we continue to serve in our various capacities. Help us to be confident that no act of caring or kindness is too little, and that we can begin today from where we are at, from the gifts we have been given. So in mindfulness of our worldwide community in which we move and live, we pray once again for your good peace to be showered upon us all as we yearn to be faithful, as we yearn to be confident in your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, we now offer these gifts. Now go with the strength you have. Go simply, lightly, gently, with courage. And go knowing that the Spirit of God is with us all. And let all God's people say,
Amen.